How many of you have lost power at some point in your lives? I mean, like electricity in your house, not like, oh, I ran out of juice and I can't go. Yeah. Most of us have lost power. It's not fun. And so up here in northern Michigan, a lot of people, you lose power. And what do? You go, well, I mean, you call the power company and they tell you, you know, it's going to be 12 hours. But eventually, a lot of people and a lot of you have bought generators, right? You got backup generators so that when the power goes out, you can turn the generator on so you don't lose the ice cream in the fridge or the freezer. Actually, that's the thing I remember, like when the power goes out, it's like, oh, we better eat the ice cream. Can't let it go bad, right? Well, there's a lot of ice cream in there. Oh, shucks. Right. But yeah, you have the generator so you can have heat and you can have like a little bit of electricity and the food doesn't go bad in the refrigerator. So imagine like you're someone in northern Michigan, you lose power and you're like, I'm never having that happen again. You buy a 150 watt generator, which is pretty big, not 150, 150,000 watt. That is big generator. And you go install that. But instead of just like turning it on when you lose the power, you're so concerned about losing the power, you leave the generator running all the time while the power's on. You can see the power's running, the meter's going, but you leave that generator going on. That seems kind of pointless, doesn't it? And not only pointless, it's a bit of a waste. It doesn't quite work the way it should. You're just wasting all of this. It's redundant, and the generator is not as efficient as getting electricity from the electric company. I think some of us do that in our Christian lives. I think some of us do that in our Christian lives when we realize that Jesus died for our sins and rose again, and that if we put our trust in him, we have eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins. We have the love of God the Father filling us with his adoption care. We have all of those things. And yet, even though we know we have all of those things, we can check mark all the boxes. We said, have I believed Jesus died for my sins and rose again? Yes. Have I trusted him? Yeah. Okay, I'm a believer. We think maybe I can do something else to make him love me more. Yeah, maybe I could do something concurrently along with Jesus' sacrifice so that he gives me more favor. He gives me more grace. He gives me more love. That's a problem. How do Christians damage their relationship with Jesus? How do Christians cut themselves off from Christ? How do Christians hurt their walk with Christ? As we turn to Galatians, he's talking about freedom, which I think is appropriate for today on Independence Day. And the Apostle Paul says this to the churches in Galatia. He says in verse 1, for freedom Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, freedom in the Bible is not freedom the way we often define it in our everyday lives. We think of freedom as I can do whatever I want. Yeah, that's not exactly freedom. Freedom in the New Testament is more nuanced. Freedom is the freedom to do good. Freedom is the ability to be free from the bondage of sin, right? It's not the ability to say I can do whatever I want. No, well, you can do whatever you want. There's going to be consequences. Freedom in the Bible means I'm no longer enslaved to sin. I have the power of the Holy Spirit within me so that I can stand up under the power of temptation. And more than that, it's the freedom to do good, because before Christ, our hearts are inwardly focused. When we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit changes our heart. He gives us a new heart, and we're outwardly focused. We're now focused on others, and we're focused on God. And we now have the freedom to worship God. We now have the freedom to serve others. That's what freedom is. It's the freedom to do good. It's the freedom to not be enslaved to sin anymore. And so Paul says, for freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Take note, I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourselves circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obliged to do the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For we eagerly await through the Spirit by faith the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. You are running well. Who prevented you from being persuaded regarding the truth? So, you have to understand the situation. In the first century church, there were a lot of people who were Gentiles, and they were coming to faith in Christ, and they understood that it's a free gift. You can't work for your salvation. Your salvation is based on the work Christ did for you on the cross. And it's just by trusting, believing in that, that you are saved, that you are adopted, that you are forgiven. And unfortunately, what was happening, because they were trying to understand, some people were doing it maliciously. Others were just trying to understand how the Old Testament and the New Testament work. And so there were people coming along and they were saying, hey, that's great. You accepted Jesus and you were saved by faith. But you know what? You want God to love you even more? Get circumcised. Right? And we're like, yeah, that doesn't sound so good. But there was obviously a long biblical tradition in the Old Testament of circumcision being an outward symbol of the inward reality of their walk with the one true God. And so people were doing it. People were saying, oh, I can get God to love me more. I can get God to give me more grace. I can get God to give me more favor by doing this. And Paul says, no, you can't. You can't outdo the work that Jesus has done for you on the cross. You just can't. His contrast that he gives is like, okay, what do you think is the more significant thing, that Jesus shed his blood on the cross for all of humanity, or that you had some minor surgery? Right? Like, which do you think is more important? Like, what? How do you think you can get more of God's infinite love? This doesn't make any sense to me. Well, we don't do that, but we do that, don't we? We don't like, oh, circumcision gets me more favor, but we do the same thing. I struggle with the same thing where I think, hey, I'm going to be able to get God to give me more love, more favor, more grace if I do good things for him. If I feed the hungry, if I clothe the naked, if I take care of his kids, if I don't yell at my family, right? Like, if I do all these things, then God's going to like me, love me even more. Which is ridiculous, because it's God's infinite love poured out to me through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. How do Christians separate themselves from Jesus in a relational way? How do we damage our relationship with Jesus? It's when we try to gain God's favor through works. It's when we think we can somehow do something to earn a little bit more of God's infinite favor and grace. It's kind of like this. Let me preface this by saying this is not a theological statement. Me personally, this is not a biblical statement. Me personally, I don't like tattoos, okay? I don't think there's anything wrong biblically with getting a tattoo. Just think it through before you get it, all that stuff. But my personal preference, so I'm not condemning any of you that have tattoos. I know a lot of you do. My personal preference is I don't like tattoos, okay? That's all I'm saying. So imagine knowing this. My wife, who loves me and everything, she goes, man, I love my husband so much. Man, how can I show him that I love him so much that I love him. So she goes out, goes to a tattoo parlor, and gets a tattoo on her face that says, I love Nathan. Do you think that communicates to me that you love me? No, absolutely not. Like, oh, what did you do that for? Oh, but it says I love you, but it doesn't say I love you. It doesn't say I love you at all. And why did you separate Nathan on the other side of your cheek? Ah! I would not like that at all. That would not be a symbol of love. That's what us trying to work for God's love is like. That's what us trying to earn our salvation, earn God's love is like. God the Father is standing here saying, I freely give my love to you. And you're like, oh, hold on, let me try and work it off. That's offensive. You don't have to. Or think about it like this. Imagine there's husband and wife. Wife's in labor. She's in the hospital. She's having the kid. You ladies, like, who've had children, like, anyone who can possibly ever say women are weak or lesser than men, like, have you ever seen a woman give birth to a child? I remember when Kristen gave birth to Matthew. There was at one point, I'm just standing there, and I was so quiet, and she's like, is he still here? Like, did all the work like a champ, right? Like, so much strength, so much energy. But after all that struggle, all that strife, all that work, the baby's there, all the pain is forgotten because the beautiful baby is there. And the husband goes, good job. Here's a $2 tip. Leaves it on the nightstand and walks off, right? What? Ladies who've had children? Is that worth a $2 tip? It's offensive! It's offensive! Are you kidding me? I brought life into this world for you, and you think you can tip me? I don't care if it's $200. Like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? That's what happens when we try to earn God's favor, or more of God's favor, or more of his love. We can't. We have all of it through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. All we have to do is trust in Jesus, and we've received it. To try and work it off, it actually damages our relationship. To try and do good works to gain somehow more of God's infinite love, it damages our relationship with him, just in the same way the Galatians were damaging their relationship with God. Like, well, I can outdo the work of Jesus by having this minor but very uncomfortable surgery. You don't know how much it hurts. Come on, right? No. It's a free gift. Believe it. Trust in it. Bask in it. Enjoy it. It might be more nefarious than that. I think some of us try to work off God's favor not out of incidental error. I think of some of us try to work off God's favor and try to gain more of God's love, and it might be more diabolical. You know, if you think that there was a man and he was in love with this woman, she really didn't care about him, but he went and to her parents and said, I will give you a boatload of money if you convince her to marry me. That's not good. That's not good. You shouldn't control people that way, and we can't try and control God with our actions. Paul goes on. He said, this persuasion, trying to gain God's favor, trying to gain God's love through works, does not come from the one who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. I myself am persuaded in the Lord you will not accept any other view. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. So he says, yeah, there's this little lie that's going around, a little leaven, you know, like yeast, you know, you put it in bread, and just a little pinch, right? And it blows the whole thing up. There's this little lie going around that I can just gain more of God's grace, more of God's favor, more of God's love if I just do the right things. And it's going to destroy you. He says, verse 11, now, brothers and sisters, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I wish those who are disturbing you might also let themselves be mutilated. So the very graphic image that he gives us there, he's like, hey, look. If he's being sarcastic here, which, you know, again, part of my love language is sarcasm. So, like, the fact that Paul's being sarcastic, I mean, and that God the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this sarcasm, right? There's some biblical warrant to sarcasm at times. Paul's saying, look, if cutting off a little bit of your body gives you a little bit more of God's love, how about you cut off more of your body? That'll give him more of his love, right? Won't that work? Why don't you go off? Just you cut the whole thing off. Why don't you go and cut an arm off? Why don't you cut a leg off? The more you cut off, the more he loves. He's being grotesque to show how utterly ridiculous an idea is that we could, like us in our like limited sense, can possibly offer God anything. Instead, God just says, I just want to love you. I've reconciled you to me through Jesus Christ. Just trust in Jesus and enjoy my love. We damage our relationship with Jesus when we try to earn God's love. Just accept it. Some of you might be here and you're saying, well, wait a minute. You know, Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. You don't know the sins that I've done. You don't know the depth of my depravity. I might not. No one might know the awful things that you've done in your life. But I do know between you and Jesus, Jesus, fully God, fully man, Jesus is far more infinite than you. Between your works and Jesus' work, Jesus is far more worthy than you. Between your sin and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his blood is more powerful. If you think you are beyond forgiveness, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is more than sufficient to cover all your sins, to be forgiven, to welcome you with open arms. I might not know what you've done. God knows what you've done. And yet he still says to you today, trust in Jesus. He will forgive all of your sins. He will wash you as clean as snow. Some of you might be here saying, well, wait a minute, what about good works? Does that mean we just trust in Jesus and then just do whatever in the world we want? No, it's not like that. Think about when you were a kid and you had chores at home, right? You kind of had a few different ways to do chores, right? Right? Like, you had the, Mom and Dad, you can mute this if you want. You know, you had the moment where you're like, take out the trash. And you're like, take out the trash. Take it out. I didn't make any of this trash, right? And you'd fight and fight and fight. And eventually, you know, your parents are bigger and stronger and scarier, and they have more power than you. So it's like, I'll take out the trash. Stupid family. I can't wait till I'm an adult. I'm never going to take out the trash when I'm an adult. Right? You throw it out. You can do work that way. You can do your chores that way. Or there are times, they might be fleeting, but there are times when you're a young person and you say, I'm a member of this family. There is this heaping pile of smelling trash in the kitchen. I want to contribute to being a member of this family. So I'm going to take the trash out because I'm a member of this family and I want to contribute, right? And so, and you take the trash out. Which of those involves love? Second one, right? Like, you guys have experienced that, right? I'm not, like, totally crazy. There's been, like, three or four times in my life, like, I'm going to do this out of love, right? Most of the other time, it's just fight and battle. But that second way, where you say, I'm a member of this family, I want to contribute to what's going on, I want to be a part of this family, that involves love. That's the Christian life. That's why we do good works. We don't do good works out of obligation. We don't do good works because we can somehow earn more of God's favor, more of God's love, more of God's grace. We can't. We have it all through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So then why do we do good works? We do good works out of the abundance of love that he's put in us. We do it because he's said, go and preach the gospel. Go make disciples wherever you go. And we go, oh, I've got to do that, right? So you go next door. Bum, 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 bum. How do you know love Jesus? He died for your sins and rose again. I got to do this, God. Right? Nobody does. Why do we share the gospel? We share it out of an abundance of love that God has put in our hearts. Well, why do we feed the hungry? Why do we clothe the naked? Well, here's some food for you. Jesus loves you. Right? No, we don't do it. Or, oh, I hope God loves me more if I feed. That's not why. We do it out of abundance of love. We say, God is working in this world. The kingdom of God is here in his people. I want to participate in this kingdom. He's loved me so much, I wanna show God's love to other people. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we build wheelchair ramps. That's why we worship God in song and music. That's why we attend church as the temperature approaches 90 today. That's why we do all of the things that we do. It's out of an abundance of love, not out of obligation, not out of this desire to think that somehow God can give us more love, give us more favor, give us more grace. We already have it in Jesus Christ. And to try and earn it, to try and control God that way, it's offensive to God and actually damages our relationship. How do Christians separate themselves from Jesus? How do they damage their relationship with Jesus? I don't mean you lose your salvation, but we hurt our relationship with him. It's when we try to earn God's love. We can't earn it. It's a free gift. Paul talks about freedom in the next verses, which I didn't say we'd go this far, but I think it's important to say. He says, for you are called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Christian biblical definition of love, the freedom to serve. You don't use your freedom. Don't use the love and the grace and the forgiveness that Jesus has given you to go fulfill all of your sinful desires. Use your freedom as an opportunity to serve others. Use your freedom as an opportunity to do good. You're free to do so. We're not trying to gain God's love. We already have the infinite love of Jesus. But as the infinite love of Jesus pours into us, as the Holy Spirit fills us, we want to go and in turn love others. You know, I think some of your biggest sin, some of your worst sin isn't the sexual struggles that you have. It's not the anger issues you have. It's not the dark secrets that you hope that no one will ever find out. It's not the strife that you have within your family. I think some of our biggest sins is that we refuse to accept the forgiveness that comes through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I think some of our biggest sins is that we don't just sit and realize that Jesus has paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. We think somehow we have to work off our salvation. We think that somehow we can earn more favor. We think that somehow we can pay him back for what he did for us on the cross. We can't. It's offensive to try. Some of our biggest sin is that we just won't believe. We just won't accept that salvation is a free gift and that it frees us, that he's given us the power to stand up against sin. God is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Trust it. Believe it. Because you can separate yourself from God. You can damage your relationship with Jesus if you think you can earn his love, if you think you can earn his favor, if you think you can earn more grace from the infinite grace that God gives us. Stop struggling. Stop fighting. Open yourself up. Bask in the forgiveness, bask in the grace, bask in the love that God offers you through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let him transform you. And out of abundance of that love, then we do good. Not to earn our salvation, not to earn more favor, but because like little children wanted to follow in our parents' footsteps, we say, I want to be a part of this too. My advice to you on this Independence Day is just give up and enjoy the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, as we celebrate Independence Day, I pray that this congregation will use their freedom for good. I pray that they will use their freedom to receive more of your love and your grace. To just open our hearts to receive the infinite love and grace that you pour out through us through Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray, Father, for those who are here that are struggling with sin. I pray that they will submit themselves to you. And they will say, I am powerless against sin, but Jesus isn't. The Holy Spirit isn't. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may you come and fill me and help me to stand up under sin. I pray for those who are here that they're laboring and they're coming to church and they're giving out food and meals thinking that they need to do this to earn their salvation or they need to do this to earn more of your love and more forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that they stop that right now and they realize that they can't do anything to earn more of the infinite love that you've given us through Christ Jesus. I pray instead that, Lord, they will open up their hearts, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, receive that salvation, and out of an abundance of the love that they've experienced in Christ Jesus, they will want to participate in the work you are doing here on earth. Father, I pray that anything within our lives that we are putting that will damage our relationship with you, whether it is sin or whether it is thinking that we can work our salvation off, that, Father, you will take that away. And we will walk in the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. That we will live in the freedom and the purpose that Christ has given us. As we take the Lord's Supper right now, Father, I pray that we spend just a moment focusing on his death, burial, and resurrection, knowing that he laid his life down for us so that all who believe can have eternal life will be raised to life just as he was resurrected from the dead. Change us, transform us. If there's any impurity within our hearts, we lay it bare before you. Take it away so that we might know your freedom. In Jesus Christ.